Congressman, good to have you with us. Good to have you in Tennessee.
It's great to be with you, Steve.
By the way, one of the interesting things that folks should know about you is that not only did you spend a great career in the Marine Corps, you were the pilot of Marine One for President Jimmy Carter and then subsequently for Ronald Reagan. And as part of your duties, you were also picked to carry the nuclear football for President Ronald Reagan. I mean, in addition to the awesome responsibility there, the opportunity to be in close personal contact and work with the one we refer to as the president had to be an awesome opportunity.
It was absolutely an awesome opportunity. It was fantastic. He is, in my judgment, the best president ever that we've had, and we've had some pretty fantastic people to be president. Plus, he was just great fun to be around. He was so comfortable in his own skin. He was funny. He was engaging. Just an absolutely wonderful man to work with.
Now, I don't know if you can confirm this rumor or not, but I've been told that the nuclear briefcase has now been replaced with a Hello Kitty backpack with the current president. Any truth to that rumor at all that you know? I mean,
not that I know.
Congressman Klein is in Tennessee visiting with one of our other buddies, Congressman Scott DeJarlais, who's the congressman from the 4th District. And they're going to be out in Columbia, Tennessee, Columbia State University, Columbia State Community College today, talking about workforce development, talking about education. Congressman, you know, we hear so much about the joblessness. Just last week, I think another 415,000 people filing new unemployment claims. The president's declared time and time again that the recovery is here, that, you know, the job problem's been resolved. And yet we've got McDonald's out there trying to hire people to work in the service industry because we apparently don't have the ability to compete in manufacturing, in the high-tech jobs of the future. A large part of what you're focused on, both in Tennessee today and in your other role as chairman of the House Education and Workforce Committee, is making sure that our workforce is trained for the jobs of the next decade, the jobs of the next decades, rather than, you know, the jobs that are, you know, dying on the vine or in the past.
Well, that's right. Let me make a small correction. We'll be at Columbia State Community College tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Scott DeJarlais and I are holding a hearing tomorrow morning, not this morning. Yeah, you're right. Our education system, I think, has been failing our students both in K-12 and often even in college at an alarming rate. You have people who graduate from high school aren't ready for college. They're certainly not ready to go to work. They graduate from college, in some cases, not ready to go to work. And we're trying to keep the federal government out of the way as much as we can, and where the federal government has a role, and it does in higher education through lots of money, GI Bill and Pell Grants and so forth, we want to see that it's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
When you look at the competitiveness of our system in the college ranks, we're a much more competitive environment than we see when we compare our students to students in other countries, industrialized countries around the world. K through 12, we really lag behind. It seems to me that a big part of the difference is that there is more choice in how our educational dollars follow the student in the college ranks rather than students having to follow the money in the K through 12 ranks.
There's no question that that's true. And despite my earlier disparaging remarks about some of higher education, we are a destination choice for students around the world. We educate an awful lot of people from around the world in our colleges and universities. But sometimes we have a disconnect here. And then certainly, as you pointed out, in our K-12 system, we have schools, particularly in inner cities, but elsewhere as well, that are graduating less than half of their students. And that's just absolutely unacceptable because those people then are doomed to making much less money and having much less opportunity than those who graduate from high school and those who graduate from college.
By the way, I don't know if you've seen this story, but at Portland State University up in Oregon, apparently they have on their college website, they're encouraging students and making it easy for them to get on food stamps. And apparently other colleges and universities around the country are doing the same thing, encouraging students to get on food stamps where they not only get to put any repayment of student loans on hold while they're getting any kind of food stamps, but it's also seen as just another entitlement program that now we're reaching down apparently into our colleges and universities with these folks instead of working on educating the kids in these colleges. They're encouraging them to get on food stamps while they're there.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we're seeing, I'm sure that all of your listeners are repelled by that, as am I, but one of the things that we're seeing with a lot of colleges and universities is they're trying everything they can, and understandably, to get more revenue through either federal assistance or grants or so forth. At some point, and I think we have reached that point, our colleges and universities are really going to have to start looking internally at keeping their costs down, looking at savings in their operation, because what we're doing is chasing with more and more money, more and more federal money, we're chasing higher and higher tuitions and fees, and we can't get there. And that'll be one of the subjects that Dr. Desjarlais and I will be addressing tomorrow at the hearing.
Congressman John Klein with us from the 2nd District in Minnesota is, again, going to be visiting Tennessee tomorrow with Congressman Scott Desjarlais of Tennessee, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Columbia State Community College in Columbia, Tennessee, where they'll be talking about workforce issues, education issues, both K-12 and college higher education issues. One of the biggest questions I get all the time, Congressman, is why the federal government has this massive bureaucracy of the U.S. Department of Education. We've, President Ronald Reagan talked about eliminating it or doing away with it, and yet we see it, like most other federal agencies, grow and grow and grow. And yet they don't teach a single kid, except for maybe, I guess, some military kids or some kids on Indian reservations. Shouldn't these decisions be being made in the local communities? And instead of that money being sent to Washington and them directing what we do in our schools, let's push that money back into the schools locally and let us run our schools.
Well, we do need to pull back the federal role in education, particularly K-12. It's gotten completely out of hand. We're over 400% of the money since 1980, and yet our results are absolutely flat. The federal government's been in education, K-12 education, since about 1965. And then I'm sure your listeners know that it was President Carter who created the Department of Education. It used to be part of Health, Education, and Welfare. It was a subset of that cabinet department. It's grown and grown and grown. We're spending more and more money, and we're not getting the results. So
yeah, our dropout rates go up. Our education productivity, our test scores go down. The more we grow education in Washington, the less benefits it seems like we get.